There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Young Reviewer. Young minds, big ideas.
We've got two grown-up guests taking over the Young Reviewer slot in the studio today. Roz Marshall, CEO of Talim. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to meet you.
We've got Chris Hudson here as well, who is the primary English teacher at Dubai British School. Welcome.
Good morning.
Your radio debut today.
It is, yeah.
Do you know what that means?
Go on.
It means that you can give a shout-out to anybody that you like.
Shout out. Would I get in trouble if I don't do the wife?
Probably.
Wife, Helen, and also to my class. Obviously 3B at Dubai British School. I'll have to give a shout out to them, I think.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Roz, it's fitting you're here on the segment talking about children's books because the Talim motto is inspiring young minds. Would you mind briefly taking the listeners through what you do at Talim?
Well, we have 10 international schools here, 9 in Dubai and 1 in Abu Dhabi. And everything we do is focused around our students. We have over 80 odd different nationalities in most of our schools. And In fact, 60 nationalities amongst all of our staff. So just actually making sure that we, as the Talim family, inspire our students, our staff, our parents, our communities in the schools to be happy and enjoy and positive in terms of their learning experiences. We're here to actually identify the students' passions and talents and nurture them to a fulfilling life.
Speaking of students, Chris, before we get into our actual book reviews today, because we've got a few lined up to talk about properly, But what are your students reading at the moment? 2018, school's back in session. What's on the reading list?
Our topic at the moment is animals in year three. So we've gone for the big one. Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book is what we're studying at this moment in time.
Well, speaking of animals, we've got some zebras coming up later. But I'd like to start with the slightly mad Eddie Dickens trilogy. Now, before we do that, here's a little bit of information about Philip Ardar for those of you who aren't familiar with his big bushy beard.
Book of the Week, what you should be reading.
Philip Ardar is a prolific writer who's been published in 40 languages around the world. His titles include the best-selling Eddie Dickens trilogy, High in the Clouds, co-written with Paul McCartney, Stinking Rich and Just Plain Stinky, the winner of the 2009 Roald Dahl Funny Prize. He's one half of Ardar and Elwick. He's worked with illustrator Elisa Elwick to create the Little Adventurers series. He stands 2 meters tall with the most impressive beard and lives with his wife and son in Kent at the Garden of England.
So the Eddie Dickens trilogy, a bit of information about Philip Ardar there. What's the basic premise? If Chris, Roz, you could take us through basically what it's about for anybody listening.
So this is it's a book that was conceived initially from letters that Philip was writing to his nephew, who was at the time away from home and in Moscow. And you can see the way that he's written each of these stories, these three books that form the part of the first trilogy, there's two trilogies, could have been easily a letter that's written over 10 or 12 episodes. But it's quite a sort of macabre story. It starts off really in terms of very lengthy explanations is the style of writing that he has about a little boy called Eddie Dickens, whose parents are actually suffering very much like the Victorian hard times with disease. And they've gone a bit yellow and crinkly around the edges. And he's then sent to live with his great uncle, a mad Uncle Jack, with his wife, even madder Aunt Maud. And by the end of the trilogy, they start to bring these characters down to just their initials. So you have MUJ and EMAM, which is very helpful because you've spent a long time reading lots and lots of words here. He's got almost like a capillary-like way of exploring every avenue and then bringing you back to the vein of the story, which takes a lot of time. But it goes through a number of unfortunate incidents. The first book, Awful End, where he brings about an unfortunate incident with a pocket watch, and Empress of China gets involved, and he's sent to an orphanage, so you can see the sort of macabre sense and the black tones there. But Eddie uses his wits to escape. So Ed is very much the sort of central character, the hero, who comes back and sorts everything out each book.
He's the fulcrum. He is basically the voice of sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where all around him is madness.
Correct, yes, which I think from a child's perspective is probably how most of the children might see the world anyway.
I think so, yeah. I mean, the most fascinating creatures, Pet Stoat Malcolm, who's a stuffed stoat there, and even madder Aunt Maud, talks to him more than she does to the actual child in there as well, which is fantastic. I mean, I read it to the children very briefly this week, and it had them in stitches in certain parts. And one of the children, Ava, she took the book home, and over one night she read 45 pages of it as well. So she came bouncing into school the next day to tell me about that. So obviously it can grip the children in there. as Roz says, it's quite difficult with the language in places at times, but he's the way he works and manipulates the language structure in there is really fascinating as well. I think children will have to persevere, you know, they use that Middlemarch approach to it as well, but the way he manipulates the language in there is really quite special.
Why do they have to persevere? It is a little bit complex, a little bit testing, is it?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, it does go off on those sort of capillaries and comes back to the main veins in there as well. So sort of, I would be saying you're looking at a 10-year-old, at least I would think, really, to get the most out of this reading it independently. But I read it to 7 and 8-year-olds this week, and they did take something from that, I would be confident in saying.
How does it compare to the Grunts, say, if you're familiar with the Grunts? Because that's one that he's really well known for as well.
In terms of the language structure, very similar. I think it's sort of his writing style in there as well. I do particularly like the characters in there. There's some of the tangents that he goes off about taking horses off up the stairs in Tibet as well. So I think that's sort of the writing style of there as well. But, I mean, he does create characters which interest and engage the children as well.
One of my favourite things was the fact that Eddie's father kind of knows that he's a character in the book, and he doesn't seem to be very happy about it. So he's really quite a lot of fun going on there. Don't go anywhere. We will be back in the blanket fort with the rest of our No Adulting Allowed morning in a few minutes with a zebra who is giving Russell Crowe a run for his money.
From Stephen King to Madhur Jaffrey, Anthony Horowitz to Kevin Kwan, this is Talking of Books.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Hi there, welcome back to the show. I'm Annabelle, co-hosting today with James Mullen. And Talking of Books is about to be overtaken by talk of zebras, of all things.
And we're here with Ross Marshall, CEO of Taleem, and Chris Hudson from DBS. And we're going to talk about this wonderful zebra, Julius Zebra, written by a chap called Gary Northfield. Let's hear a little bit about him.
Book of the Week, what you should be reading.
Gary Northfield has been writing and drawing comics since 2002. His comic strip, Derek the Sheep, famously appeared in The Beano. Northfield has also created comics for National Geographic Kids magazine, The Phoenix, The Dandy, The DFC, Horrible Histories magazine, Horrible Science magazine, and The Magical World of Roald Dahl. As well as the Julius Zebra books, Northfield has published The Terrible Tales of the Teeny Tiny Saurus with Walker Books, and Gary's Garden, which was nominated for the British Comics Awards with David Fickling Books. One of his favourite subjects is animals and their jolly lives, and he often wonders what they think about the world in which they live.
So speaking of animals there, Chris, you said that you've been talking about, The Jungle Book with your students.
That's
recently.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
Continuing the animal theme, what did you think to Julius Zebra?
Well, it's the second instalment. The first one was when he's fighting in the Colosseum, the Romans. And then now he gets packed off to Britain to demonstrate as part of Hadrian's campaign to get the natives on the Roman side, really, as well. So a menagerie of gladiators, of warriors comes along, zebras, there's mice in there, there's all sorts of animals who come along. And basically, along that story, we get educated about things like Boudicca, empires and conquests, the use of war paint, gladiators, and a fascinating story, which builds up nicely into the third part.
The illustrations are quite great, aren't they?
Oh, fantastic, yeah.
They make up quite a bit of the book.
Yeah, and I think that really, sort of, if I'm looking at that from a teacher's perspective, I think that really aids comprehension as well within there, and it sort of makes it more appealable, more accessible for the younger children as well, I would say in there. But yeah, they definitely add weight to the story, definitely.
Remind us of the title of the second one and the third one that you've got as well.
Julius Zebra, Bundle with the Britons is the second one. The third one is Entangled with the Egyptians.
The thing about Julius the young zebra, he's a bit of a rebel, isn't he?
Oh, definitely,
he
yeah.
hates being called a horse. What else can you tell us about Julius?
Julius, well, yeah, he's an unlikely hero, really. So he gets put into the Colosseum, and he turns out to be a pretty decent fighter, really, and a bit of a leader for him. So he's the Russell Crowe equivalent, really, for zebras.
James, have you got any thoughts on the books?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of these particular books, the influence of Horrible Histories is very clear here. So anybody who's read those books or seen the TV series will be very familiar with that. Mm-hmm. Gary Northfield actually wrote some of those, I believe, or he was involved in those, wasn't he?
That's correct, yeah. I mean, I was talking with Ross before, and it's almost that within the story, it's that Monty Python question of what did the Romans ever do for us, really? And then we find out about all of these things that were introduced there as well. And in the back of the stories as well, there's often a glossary in there explaining a few different parts. Within this one on the Romans, it's talking about the facts, the law and order, central heating, flushing toilets. So it's almost a bit of a hybrid between an information book and a story in there as well. So children who are just starting to learn about this topic in school, I definitely recommend this book here as well. You get loads from it.
How do you actually choose the books then that you put in front of children?
In a similar way with adults, really. I personally listen to a lot of recommendations as well. I would see that's out there. And I think it's important as a teacher that you become a reader like a child, really, as well, and picking up. And my wife is often sort of was laughing at the start of our relationship when I was picking up children's books and reading those. But I think there's a lot that you can get from that one as well. Obviously, there's things like Amazon nowadays where if you like X, you might like Y and things like that. But yeah, I'm quite an avid reader as well, and I spend more time in the children's sections than I do in the adults when I go to the bookshops.
Well, it's clear that we all like picking up children's books and we're really keen on them. How do you encourage children who aren't big readers to engage with those books? What can parents be doing?
Well, I mean, if I was saying to... what we need to create is a bit of a reading generation, really. We're always battling against the iPads, the phones, the PlayStations, and so on and so forth. My top tip to any parents is to be a role model. If the children see you picking up books and reading those, it's going to inspire them. I mean, don't forget, parents, you're the children's first superheroes, really, your mums and dads. So if the children see you reading books, that's more inclined to get them reading them. Second top tip I would say is read to the children. Just before the winter break, I did an assembly or a meeting for parents of Dubai British School about what they can do to support the children with the reading. And my top tip there is to read to your children, because that's the single most important thing that you can do to help them to access it. I think back to my dad when he used to read to us Rodney Pepe's The Mice and the Clockwork Bus. It used to drive my mum insane because it used to wind us up doing all the voices, all the daft things in there as well. It was fantastic. But that still I'm 33 now and I still remember that very, very clearly. And also, reading's down into two parts. It's decoding, that's what the words are on the page, and then it's the comprehension, and that's the most important part of reading, I would say. Decoding, I mean, I can't speak French, but I can read the words on the page, but I don't understand what's happening in there. The comprehension is all about discussion in there as well. Talk to your children about the books, ask them to make predictions, ask them to summarise what they've read as well, and that will really help them with the reading, I would say.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talking of Books on Dubai Eye, and that was Chris Hudson from Dubai British School, primary English teacher, talking about ways you can encourage your children to read. He's joined by CEO of Taaleem, Ros Marshall. We're talking about the Eddie Dickens trilogy by Philip Ardar and the Julius Zebra series by Gary Northfield. Just a quick reminder that those two authors, Philip Ardar and Gary Northfield, are attending the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature from the 1st to the 10th of March. Tickets are available from emiratelitfest.com for Foundation Friends. And I think a couple of them will be going on sale for the general public on the 15th of January. The entire program is actually available then. I think a great way, this is a point I want to talk to you about, is of cementing some of the books that children read and some of the authors that they are reading, is for them to actually go and see these authors in action. And I think if any author is a great example of that, it's Philip Ardar, because he's such a big character.
I was just going to say, we've been fortunate enough to host some visits from authors from the Literature Festival in the past, and in most of our schools, actually, in Dubai. And Philip Ardar came to formally open the Dubai British Foundation School, which is for 3 to 5-year-olds. And he gave us the most amazing live story event, completely made up on the spot. The children were all in fancy dress, in their own superheroes. So we had Woody, we had a king, we had champion, a fighter, we had another ninja turtle. And he brought everybody into the whole story in the most incredible way. And the parents who were there watching and the children who were engaged and the teachers, the deputy headmaster was involved on stage. And it was just incredible. And so seeing these people live, you know, so understanding how they write and what makes them tick, the Literature Festival itself is a huge opportunity to be able to go and see these people face to face. They're always fascinating.
Yeah. Chris, have you been to the festival before?
I'm new to Dubai. I only arrived in August, so I'm looking forward to going along there as well. I've sort of experienced World Book Day back in the UK, but this sounds extra special, does this? I'm looking forward to it.
Going back to the books very briefly, because we were talking about Julius Zebra by Gary Northfield, who would you be recommending those books to? Like, what sort of age group? What kind of child do you think would enjoy Gary Northfield's books?
Personally, Gary Northfield, I would say sort of 7, 8 years old onwards. Yeah. Those perhaps if I was sort of stereotyping, I would say the boys might be more interested in this one. There's battles, there's a bit of blood in there as well. And it's also those links and where they're learning about the Romans, the Egyptians, the Britons. So I would say, yeah, I would be looking for the sort of 7-8 year old onwards with those ones. I think with Philip Ardar, it's sort of the top end of primary. I would say they're sort of 10-11 just because of the language in there. But we were talking before, and I think if the parents are reading to the children, the parents are going to get a lot out of these books as well. They'll enjoy them with the writing style.
Yeah, James, you remember we had Helen Farmer reviewing picture books on the show a couple of months ago now. Mm-hmm. And she was saying that that's the one thing that she looks for when she's choosing picture books for her children, because obviously you've got to read them every single night, particularly with younger children. Yep. So they better be entertaining for the grown-ups, because you're going to be stuck with them for a very long time.
And you better not skip over the pages as well. that old adult trick.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
Does that not work?
If you've got a bright child, they'll catch you out. You know, I have been caught out before on that.
Yeah.
And often it's the second child in the family, because you're reading to child number one, and the second child, who's younger, is just listening along, but they remember everything, mm-hmm. and their memory retention is often extremely sharp. So unfortunately, there's no get out at all.
Yeah.
But these books are delightful, and I think they would be a pleasure for both adults and children to be able to listen to and read and understand. And it's about promoting then that creative thought, which today's sort of instant access to information and short words on Twitter is starting to actually be a challenge for us to actually perpetuate. So the creativity of the mind is a huge opportunity in these books, because they spin you off into all different directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautifully put. If anybody would like to win a copy of the Eddie Dickens trilogy by Philip Ardar, you can. So all you have to do is answer the following question. Philip Ardar wrote this beloved series of children's books in homage to which author? Was it A, Jane Austen, B, Charles Dickens, or C, Roald Dahl? Text your name and the answer to 4001. It's quite easy, that one. Who do you think it was, James?
Charles Dickens.
I think it was Dan Brown.
Yeah.
It wasn't even an option, but there we go. So final thoughts on the Eddie Dickens trilogy and Gary Northfield, guys.
Gary Northfield, I'd love reading those books again, to be honest. I would take those home and I'd read them for my own pleasure as well. And I think there's definitely a lot there that we can look at for the language structure, and Philip Ardar definitely in there.
Well, we're looking forward to welcoming you to the festival for the first time. And Ros Marshall from Tallaght for how many years have you been coming to the festival?
5 years.
Fifth year now. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much to Ros and Chris for coming on the show.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. Bye.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.